come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, the Freak Show happens, whether you're ready for it or not, where a group of us get together, sit in a dank, dark basement, watch a movie, and then talk about it later for your edification and listening pleasure.
It really is dank and dark down here.
It is.
If you want to get a hold of us, and we encourage you to, if you have anything to say about this movie or anything that we've watched before, you can find us on Facebook. We're Saturday Night Freak Show. That's Facebook/Saturday Night Freak Show. We're also on Twitter as Sat Freak Show. And you can email us old fashioned like SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. These are the Saturday Night Freak Show Internet Superstars.
Hallie.
Sean.
Travis.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie chosen by
Travis.
And it was called
Ninja 3, The Domination.
Do you remember what year it was made?
1984.
Do you remember who made it?
Some guy named Furstenberg.
Sam Furstenberg.
Sam Furstenberg.
Schmulek. Schmulek Furstenberg.
What are some of his other movies he directed?
Breakin' 2.
Breakin' 2.
Which actually, this movie
and
was
American
made.
Ninja.
This main female in this movie was in Breakin'.
And Breakin' 2.
But she filmed this before Breakin'. So Breakin' came out first, was big, but then this was released. But she filmed
and
this
before. And they're like, get the ninja out.
Yeah. All right,
so is it just me, or does Lucinda Dickey is her name? Does she look a little bit like an 80s version of Paz de la Huerta?
Who?
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
A little bit.
She was in Boardwalk Empire. She was Nurse 3D. No.
Okay. What else? Oh, I know you're talking about Nurse 3D. Yeah, Boardwalk Empire. She was the hooker with Michael Shannon.
Yep.
They did the full frontal.
A little bit.
Oh, it was great.
She reminded me of her. Like,
I loved her.
The movie.
Like,
yeah.
She wasn't
a great
actress, but had potential.
Yeah. So this is a
this show also brought sponsored by V8.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
let's not forget that.
Oh my God!
And Coke.
Yeah.
No, okay. But nobody got Coke poured on them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's sexily.
Okay.
I'll never drink V8 again.
Never.
To put our minds back in 1984. I mean, I can't believe this is one of the only movies I've ever seen where a guy goes, that man said ninja. What's a ninja?
I was like, yes. Thank you.
What's a ninja?
Thank you.
You obviously don't have any 10-year-old kids running around.
That's right. I can take you back to 1984 and the ninja craze that swept the country because I remember there was a ninja magazine that I used to see on
Black Belt?
No, it was called like
Ninja.
I think it was called Ninja. Yeah.
Ninja.
It had to be.
Yeah, you look through it and it was like there was all these articles about
secretive
ninja shit. But also, you could order the ninja costumes, you could order the throwing stars.
The double toed,
all that shit
shuriken,
was
shuriken guys. They're called shuriken, for the rest of the show. They're called shuriken.
The shoes?
No, the throwing stars. They're shuriken.
Okay. Does it matter? Are they all called shuriken no matter what shape they are?
I really don't know.
Because there's different shaped ones. I don't want to know if they're all shuriken.
Daggers. Throwing daggers, shuriken.
Shurikens, throwing stars.
But you're talking about, like, I mean, up to this point, really, I mean, the only big martial arts movies were Chinese movies. It was the Bruce Lees and all these that were playing out of the grindhouse. And then American people are like, dude, these, you know, let's kind of like, let's try to profit off of this, like, martial arts kung fu stuff.
Well, they had to do, like, a follow-up, I suppose, to, like, the popularity of Enter the Dragon, the big American, kung fu movie.
One of the best martial arts movies ever, period.
Seconded.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. Yeah.
Okay, please, yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, you guys haven't seen Enter the Dragon.
So there's an interest in martial arts, and somehow that leads to an interest, like, nationwide, like a craze of ninja. Damn. There was a TV show.
We can make turtles ninjas.
This is why I don't remember what came first, but there was a TV show starring Lee Van Cleef from countless spaghetti westerns and Escape from New York. It was called The Master, where he was like the master ninja. And I think he was training like Timothy Van Patten. And Sho Kasugi, whose name you're going to hear a couple times in this show.
Kasugi.
It was in it. He was the evil ninja that they had to, you know.
Hey, I made that joke earlier. Okay.
I know.
TV show on like CBS. It was made.
Well, you had Kung Fu, right?
That Kung was Fu, like one of your Wire big Fu, Chain Fu.
Well, Kung Fu is in the TV show that Bruce Lee developed.
That was David Carradine,
But then, so yeah, you had, I mean, ninja movies. This is called Ninja 3 because...
Explain that one.
There is... What's the first one called?
Enter the Ninja.
Is it Enter the Ninja?
Yes.
Which, of course, is Enter the Dragon. You know, yeah. Enter the Ninja.
Like, Revenge of the Ninja.
And then Revenge of the Ninja is the one right before this. And they're like, well, Revenge of the Ninja was really popular. We got to, like, quickly get in and do Ninja 3. And even though they just call it Ninja 3, because, I mean, well, we're the only movies that have Ninja in the title, so obviously they'll
Ninja,
know.
Yeah. Ninja 3, Flashdance.
Isn't that weird? Exactly. Oh, yes. I'm going to get to that in a second. Yeah.
That was my joke earlier.
Yeah. But what's so special about this Ninja movie is that, I want to say the year prior or right before they made this, Poltergeist came out.
Oh, my God. That is, could you tell?
We can tell. Yeah. That's what, like... That's what really, really influenced this movie. Was like, well, we're obviously going to make another ninja movie, but let's add some 80s, like,
this was popular.
Fantasy
ghost stuff.
Yeah, because
arcade games and whatnot.
Arcade game. Oh, yeah, dude. She had an 80s apartment, like a standing lockers and
the payphone.
A wind.
That's from like a turbine.
Like a little wind turbine on the top of her
from
fridge.
A chimney or some
and
shit.
And a big, of course, you have to have your objet d'art, the neon thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just
neon noodle.
Yeah. I'm on a Max right now.
Well, I've seen Enter the Ninja. These movies are from Canon Films. So we need to set up who Canon Films are. It turns out we've done at least two because Life Force was a Canon.
Was it?
Golan Globus and Yoram Globus.
Which I want to say, Golan. I want to say he started off as a boomer operator for Roger Corman.
I thought you were going to say boomerang operator.
I started to say a different word, but then he went into films and did really well.
How do you get that job?
Did you watch? There was a documentary. There's two documentaries
I didn't watch
about what's it called?
It's called Electric Boogaloo. The story of Canon Films.
Yeah. I think that's the one I watched. There's a competing one.
Is there
made that's officially sanctioned by the two?
Really?
I thought they were Israeli.
It says like great stuff about their movie.
Yeah.
We like this one better.
They're like, what? You can make money off of a documentary about us? Well, we should get in on this.
We should
action.
Get on it.
I mean, they were these.
Theirs might be the free one. Like, I know you got to pay for Electric Boogaloo.
Right. Yeah. Something. I mean, they were these two, I thought, Israeli guys. They started off making, I thought, Israeli movies. As far as I remember, they came from Israel, moved to.
The names are Shmuel.
California. Started bankrolling these, like, I mean, they did.
Well, like
Cobra.
I said, if Golan was working with Roger Corman back in the day, you know, really they had that AIP mindset. The whole thing, we can make a movie for the whole world on a shoestring budget.
Well, they were pumping, like, decent for them.
Oh, we also watched Masters of the Universe. That was canon.
Yes, that was also, right, where they would just throw money at
dude,
shit.
They just, well, they
that
bought
much
up,
I saw of that movie.
They bought up famous licenses. Then just like try to throw as little money at it as possible.
Well, I remember
He-Man, Superman. They're the guys that bought Superman from the Salkinds.
Yeah, they hired Toby Hooper because he was famous for Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
And
Texas Chainsaw 2 is a canon movie.
Yep. And they also got Invaders from Mars and Life Force out of it for that deal. But they did like Bolero, I think, like, you know, the Bo Derek movies. I don't think they did Tarzan the Ape Man, but. They're like Mata Hari and Lady Chatterley's Lover and all that stuff. And they did the Delta Force. They launched, I swear to God, Chuck Norris's career. Missing in Action, all of them.
Yeah, Furstenberg did a Delta Force or two in his day.
Well, dude, if anybody
Invasion
could have any
USA,
action.
I mean, they had Cobra, and I think Over the Top was also there.
Over
the Stallone movies.
Oh, hell yeah,
they
Over the Top.
They bought the Death Wish movies and then did Death Wish 3 and 4 were maybe canon movies? Or 5?
I don't know, man. I quit paying attention to Death Wish after 2. I'm like, Jesus Christ, how
it's
many
like,
more?
He hasn't died yet.
This yeah, how much? How many family members does he have to get raped and murdered?
They do just keep inventing them for that series.
I
want to
say by the third or fourth one, it's just like an old couple in an apartment building.
Yes,
and like punks
it
are
is.
Picking on him. It's like, Jesus
it
Christ,
is.
This guy's just looking for reasons
That's exactly
to kill
what
people.
It is.
With his howitzer, hand howitzer. So at some point, I mean, I guess maybe this leads into this. I think they did Last American Virgin, because if I remember, that was a remake of like an Israeli movie, but they did Breakin'. Now, yeah. Who the fuck thought that you could do make a movie step out of breakdancing?
Step up.
That's the modern day.
That's the modern. And there's fucking three of those. One's in 3D. Yeah. So I don't blame Breaking.
Is there another one? There's a fourth one after that.
There might be.
I think there was.
So I don't, like, yeah, Breaking sounds stupid, like in hindsight, but now if you're like, holy fuck, that's basically Breaking for modern.
I didn't know there was a third one called Rappin'.
It was, what?
Yeah.
What?
Called Breakdance 3.
Oh.
Also known as Rappin'.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Ice-T was apparently in all of them.
Was it Breakdance 3? Because there was a alternate, like, competing franchise called Breakdance.
Breakdance
3 is like Slumber Party Massacre all over again. But Breakdance 3, I think, is the sequel of Breakin' 2. Like, that's how it's identified. Rappin'. I'm just going to call it Rappin'.
They did that movie Lumbada? The Forbidden
Dance? Yeah, that movie.
There were like two. Yeah, okay.
The Forbidden Dance.
The Forbidden Dance.
Lumbada.
They had this thing about dance movies.
Okay, well, I mean.
Eventually they went broke.
Well, yeah.
Martial arts movies in the early 80s, I mean, they're really fucking cheesy and stupid nowadays, but that's just because if you think, I mean, back in the old Kung Fu movies and even when Bruce Lee was Kato in the Green Hornet, everything was about, well, slow down your movements so the camera can catch it. You know, didn't want, I mean, nowadays you want to see a fast, you know, fast kick and you want to see all these edits. But back in the day, they're like, whoa, the cameras might not be able to catch it. I actually heard that.
Is that why this movie was not so?
Well, yeah, because back in those days, they want you to see every kick, every move, you know, it wasn't about how fast you could do it. It's about actually showing it, right?
They're trying to bring it into, like, the Hollywood system where, you know, you had the old stagey, like, Western-style
fisticuffs.
Choreography. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Where it's like, fisticuffs. Boom, I hit you, boom, right. And you react.
Well, like Travis says, like, every light is on. We need to see you kick these
we
people.
We want
to
see the kicks and the, you know. And I even heard that back when they originally filmed Bruce Lee for Kato, his kicks didn't register on film. They were so fast. It almost looked like he didn't move
like
his
leg. Like
he's
just standing there and a guy goes,
yeah. Oh, why did that guy fall back?
Like, what's going on?
So that's why they're like, whoa, slow down the movements. Let's see everything. And I mean, this movie, it suffers for it, but it's indeed. Not like there's a lot of, I don't know. It's hard to put yourself. You have to be in 1984 to be like, this is a ninja movie.
I don't have enough leather to be in 1980s.
It's weird, too, because, like,
I mean,
when I was alive back then,
as opposed to when I was dead back
then. When did you come back?
When I was
Let's go with when I was a kid.
Let's hear that story. When did you die?
When I was a kid back then, I remember, you know, I couldn't see these movies because they were rated R.
Nobody
was like PG?
Breaking?
I have no idea. I didn't even look at the rating.
It felt like it.
It felt like a PG movie. But
no,
the
there's
first,
some. Isn't there some nudity?
None at all.
No, we were waiting for it.
There's
never
some
happened.
Sexuality in the pool, but not really.
Yeah, but it's 80s.
There's
you can handle that.
We watched it meticulously.
Yeah. No, I mean, it might have been PG if this was before Gremlins.
Same year.
Then it probably is PG because I'm sure they didn't like. React quickly.
There's braless women.
There's two buttocks in this movie.
Yes.
CG.
Yes.
The first two were rated R. So I remember like having this vision of, you know, just based on the covers of the VHS boxes, the big, gigantic, oversized MGM.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
The, you know, remembering artwork. Like, this is
you know, they used to stand out. Like if you were a VHS company, what's going to make your movie stand out? Well, we made a huge box. It stands out to me, man. I'll pick those up. They got like the little plastic tray that the movie sits in.
Oh, the clamshell.
Yeah, the clamshell. I'm sorry. Every horror movie and porno from the fucking 80s came in those boxes.
They did. I'm
the MGM
flashbacks.
Ones were like these gigantic things. They were cardboard. They were gray. I just remember like the spines were gray and I can't remember the tape slid out or you opened the cover. I think you did. You opened the cover up and there was like some kind of detail. It used to be when they would put like a shitload of information about the movie, like on the packaging somehow. Mm. Now you barely get anything. But back then it was like the special effects people did this and blah, 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 blah. You know,
because what would you get from the, I mean, this is what I like about this movie. What is funny about this movie is how you explain this movie
how
will be completely correct, but you could fit it on the back of a box. Like, a ninja assassin goes after a famous scientist and is murdered by cops. It's like, well, there you go. I mean, there's like,
yes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and the movie doesn't bring you any more into the city. They're just like, that guy was a famous scientist.
Is okay. murdered for 20 minutes by cops.
Well, so now this, but this is a thing though, because that opening scene, like watching it tonight, I'm like, this is kind of like the producers of this movie are trying to give you like the ultimate ninja scene, yeah. like a ninja action scene. It does go on for like at least 15 minutes.
He crushes a golf ball with his bare head.
Because he's got ninja powers.
Those are I did not powers. See him in that first shot. That's he how you was show ninja
powers.
Yeah, he's got supernatural ninja powers. This guy, this ninja that we see at the beginning, goes into a cave where there
scene.
Is hidden underneath a rock, or it's like some kind of casket, no. rock casket, which is lit from below yeah. with mystic energy. He's got like all these weapons and shit that he's
apparently
collect.
Just like you know re-ups every time you close the lid. And just like oh, sure. if you open it later,
no,
there's
gotta
more.
Be tons of those. Just tons right, of yeah. them, dude. Just, he's been like operating out them. Of that cave. I don't know. That's not, I mean, this is why I kind of like this movie reluctantly. It's because like this little fucking. This is like
just I kind of like it reluctantly
because there's like nuggets. There's nuggets of fucking beauty in this to me. Like the idea that a fucking ninja has this cave in California or whatever. This was shot in Phoenix, Arizona.
Wait, was he in the? Yeah, he was in the in California in the cave or sorry in Arizona. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the license plates in Arizona. There were palm trees.
But the cave is in America.
Supposed to take place in L.A. I think.
Well, they had Arizona license plates.
Well, yeah, because they shot it in Arizona. But I think it's supposed to be L.A. I could be completely wrong. They don't even say, do they?
They don't say, and they don't show anything. They'd be like, we're trying to make it L.A. Yeah. It feels like it's Arizona. Like, I wouldn't
maybe
feel like
it's supposed
LA.
To be an un like
right.
I mean,
just
there's
like
palm
trees. Western. Yeah,
I mean, maybe
it's a Western locale.
Yeah.
Well, the question that I have about the location of this cave where the mystical items
what?
Are stored.
Where can I find it?
Is hey, just ask questions about this movie.
Yeah.
Well, this movie just shows you things and you say,
and
okay.
you accept yeah. them.
Well, the girl eventually goes to this cave. So that's why I was still like, well, this must be in the United States. But it seemed to me like a wise old Japanese guy, I think he was actually a Chinaman, told her that she had to go somewhere in this cave. You know, there's a cave in Japan where.
Nobody said that.
What?
Are you nobody said that.
What about? Movie did you watch?
Nobody said that.
James Hong.
You did not watch this
nobody
movie.
Nobody said that.
David Wong, is that his name?
James from Big Trouble in Little China.
From
David
Wayne's World 2.
David
yeah.
Lopan?
Yeah, that's way later in the movie.
All right, we'll get to that. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure there was something.
No, they said something about going to the temple.
In Japan.
Which is in California. No, it's in California or wherever they're fucking at. It's just an old temple up the road.
Composited
it's like, oh, people have been
into the mountains.
Kung fu up there for yeah. years.
Yeah, monks and whatnot.
We just leave them alone.
Yeah,
dude, that was all.
The weird people up
that
the
was all. No one had to travel anywhere for this movie. This is supposed to be all in one area. All
right, so this mystical.
A mystical ninja.
Ninja gets armored up.
Back to the points. Mystical
goes
ninja.
To a golf course where he obliterates at least 50
just,
guys.
I just want to know.
He kills
why,
Kevin Nealon. This
why
is
the scientist? Like, I just want to know what's the scientist doing? Who hired him to kill the scientist? Nope, this is like, nope. Ninja goes to kill a scientist.
Yep.
Done.
That's it.
Fucks it up so badly. I mean,
no,
the
he
idea
does kill
with,
the scientist.
Well, the idea
but
with the ninja is that he's the part of the shadow, and this guy
yeah.
is like a
there's
quiet
no shadow.
Assassin.
Well, Americans might
who
have
can
not
kill
known
these
that.
People and then get out.
I think
yeah.
we learned
this
that
guy,
in the 90s, not
like,
in the early 80s.
Well,
yeah.
he alerts
yeah, movies were
every
darker
single
than the
90s. Authority figure that there is, and like brings
on
the full
golf
weight
of the
Arizona
Police Force,
SWAT teams, helicopters,
the highly trained Arizona Police Force.
In a tour de force segment where he yeah. takes out guy, he takes out a helicopter.
He takes out like everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody. He
I
just
mean,
keeps getting
be,
shot and
maybe
getting
this,
back
this
up.
Probably is rated R. I mean, come on. They
it
fucking kill like 700 people in this movie. I mean, regardless of yes. how graphic it is.
Yeah.
They fucking I mean, everybody in this movie dies basically. With yeah. a well, you know, the classic like someone, you know, the actor is standing with
right.
his back to
and
the
they
camera.
Turn around, like,
they slash and they just go, ah!
And they turn around, the they have the makeup already.
Yeah, the slash is already there.
I love that. Yeah. All they have to do is add a little blood to splurt and it would be great.
Yeah.
But
his, well, he's found, I guess, before he passes on by a lineman slash
and this is
aerobics
the Footloose thing he's talking about how like
the flash dance
how like
flash dance
yeah. Oh, it would have been better if it was
women in the, you had to start your movie with your female lead having a completely male job, like oh mm-hmm. she's a telephone operator and flash dance she's
not even an operator. She climbs the line.
She's a repairman.
Climbs poles and
she goes down in the sewers.
Flash dance she was
a welder.
She's
also an aerobics instructor. That's very feminine.
Well, but we're not. I guess she is an aerobics instructor.
She is.
She is.
But you kind of wonder, like, which job came first? Is that too many jobs?
She's like, I gotta dial this back a bit. Aerobics.
Yeah, she needs the aerobics to be able to climb up.
That was
the
just
poles.
To get him in a rope.
I don't know.
yeah.
But she went.
Just sees the ninja, and he's like stumbling around.
Hey,
which every
okay?
single time he stumbles, imagine him going, "Hi-ya, hi-ya," to keep his.
He what? Yeah, because he falls on it. I was like, "Oh,
yeah,"
and then he falls on the hill. He's like big motions, like, "Oh,
yeah," and then she's just like, "Hello, who is that?
Are you okay? Do you need help?"
The version that you saw, is he subtitled when he speaks?
No.
Okay, because we were like, subtitled. What the
hell? Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to know anything.
We missed it.
I don't think it's real Japanese. They're just like, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we have to set this up. That, like, if you're, based on what we're saying here, if you're expecting a good movie going into this, you have to take this with some grain of salt. The opening scene is so over the top that it does achieve some level of awesome. But you have to be aware that,
Ninja takes fucking, 120 shots to put him down.
He does.
He just keeps getting back
shotguns.
Up.
The best part is that the cops circle him and shoot each other.
And they're not. Yeah,
and they're not getting hit.
That's
wonderful.
They show each cop with a different gun.
Shotguns, those M16s.
I know. I was waiting for there to be a Civil War Gatling gun.
It's like, why does that guy have a mace?
They uncover the wagon.
The guy just damn.
Getting back up.
Really, I mean, the only movie I like, this and Jason Goes to Hell, are the only two movies I know where it starts with, like, the person gets blown to shit by all these cops.
For five minutes.
Which is where we're like, okay, this guy's clearly supernatural. I love the way that he escapes, though, because he uses ninja smoke. And then they're like, oh, where'd he go? Because they're standing in a circle around
him.
I do like that scene, though. And so they all disperse, and then it's like, he just comes out of the ground.
I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I really thought that was a cool idea.
It's like, you should be dead, but this is awesome.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, right.
But he couldn't even outrun them. How did he, quickly dig a hole?
Well, because he only had to go 2 feet. Right. he didn't have to go miles. Which I want to mention, most of the time you see the bad ninja, that is actually Steve Lambert. I don't know how it is.
Lambert?
You can't tell anymore with Christopher Lambert.
Right. We'll just say everybody from the 90s before is Lambert.
Steve Lambert is the stunt coordinator on this movie.
Okay.
And he's the guy that is mostly in the bad ninja costume. Kosugi. He did the fight choreography.
Yeah.
But Steve Lambert. He did the stunt
wasn't Black Ninja, he was the other
the
ninja.
Dark Ninja, whatever the fuck they call him.
One was Black
Bad
Ninja.
Bad Ninja, whatever the fuck. But that guy, Steve Lambert, I mean, check out his fucking IMDb. I mean, that guy, he's worked on American Ninja, Friday the 13th Part 5. I mean, Steve Lambert has been the stunt coordinator or just stunts on shit tons of classic movies that you love.
It's too bad he didn't play Jason or Michael Myers in a movie, and then we probably would have heard of him.
Well, he might have played Jason in Part 5.
Or Michael Myers he probably doubled Busta Rhymes in Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah. I don't know, with all the karate that was in that movie. But so the female finds the guy. He speaks some that's another one of those.
She goes to run away, and she's
that's kind of what I like about this. I mean, some movies would take so much time to explain, this is what the ninja's doing. Where this movie, you're supposed to just take it for a fact that, well, obviously whatever he said to her, put her in a spell, and she turns around to go get the sword.
Mm. She takes his ninja sword. He dies.
With a nice little face.
And she then finds herself possessed by the sword. Possessed by a ninja.
Copyright.
Possessed by a ninja. Yes. Oh, let's make that movie.
Oh,
possessed
we will. By a ninja. We will.
There haven't I been swear. Enough ninja movies. We
Not
need to bring
possession
back.
Ninja movies.
Possessed by a ninja. It's like possessed by a ninja. Yeah.
So then this turns into really kind of a run of the mill. It's Touched just a revenge ninja. Movie. It's just a.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get revenge. I mean, that's what sucks about this movie.
There's five cops that killed him, and he wants revenge on those five.
Yeah, if only it was to like finish the mission of killing the scientist, or like if only there was something more, not just like revenge. You know, I'm gonna date this cop that I hate until he yells at me.
Wait, we got to talk about this.
Yeah,
this is Billy Secord.
Yeah, this guy hands her a court. Yeah,
Billy Secord,
which is like
Cliff Secord's younger brother that nobody's ever heard of. Yeah, yeah.
But
it's an interesting, look back at 80s, what would you call it? Courtship ritual?
No, I want to say 80s. It's just movies. Like, we need to get these two people, like, together quick without any fucking reason, you know? And first, the chick has to be off-putting.
Right.
Like,
he's an asshole,
cops.
But she loves him.
Well, it's only until he's an asshole, right? He's like, I don't date cops. Fuck you, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, you know what? I like being a cop. And if you have a problem, get the fuck out. And she's like, you can take me home and fuck me.
it does actually happen like that.
Dude, it
does. Exactly. Like, you're like, whoa, this like really like.
It really, it's like, oh.
It just really chased
around.
It
was because he was being hyper masculine. I'm convinced that that's what it is. Because like the whole thing, because these guys are sitting there
she
going
works
like,
on telephone
this
poles.
Whole thing is very like, you know, what are you saying? It was very like rapey or like. Yeah. When
he's
she's
a tad
the,
rapey.
When she's in the police station, every single guy is like leering over her saying something, and Billy comes up and is like,
his leg on the
he's
desk.
Got the leg up. Yeah, that's the sheer sign of male like domination. That she's most just like, hey, we should go out.
Yeah, she's like, get the fuck out of here. And then, but then she, when she leaves the police station, there's her friend is being accosted.
No, that's the aerobic yoga.
And I think he called her at one point, which I was like, they didn't really say that, but
no,
I'm like, that's
him
on the phone.
Which is
that was the hard cut that was just like, whoa.
Well, they set you up as if this woman has a roommate, right? There's just another woman sitting with her, and like, she answers the phone, and like, oh shit, it was that cop, you know?
Yeah, and she's like, that's never going to happen. Because they're lesbians, right? They got like,
that's what I was thinking. And I don't know if that's
we're living in the now.
They're aerobics. You guys sound like the fucking Captain America girls that want him to be gay. You guys are weird.
No, it kind of it came off.
It
that
came
way.
Off it's that way.
I did not see it. I watched it last night. It did not come off as
no.
Gay.
There was a definite lesbian vibe.
There was. I'm just
whoa.
Like, is she
well,
gay?
Since that comes from a woman, I mean, that's I'm fine. But have to reevaluate, go back and masturbate.
But that was.
Well, I made that joke during the movie. I'm not gonna lie. We made that joke during the movie.
It was all forgotten like a scene later when after she. Well, okay, so she goes to aerobics.
You gotta.
She leaves.
You gotta
there.
Show how some of the ninjas affecting her.
Yeah. So she like you know gets a
really
by
rape
these five
right
guys.
Outside. They're just like we're gonna rape you. Out. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And there's like broad daylight. People standing around.
Yeah, everybody's right coming there. Out of this the door of the alley. But you know what? Fuck it. We're
right
four
here.
Guys and we're gonna pick on this girl.
And so she beats the fuck out of these guys with her newfound ninja possession skills. And Billy the cop is there just kind of watching this. And you're like. What? And these 20 people
he's
like
off duty.
Like, why aren't you interacting with it? But he's looking at her like, my God, I am in love with this woman. Look at she just took down like five. That's the moment where it seals the deal for him. She took down five dudes by herself. He is.
Oh,
he's
yeah, but also, but this guy, okay, he's a cop and he couldn't keep up with the aerobics class.
Couldn't.
Yep. He, you know.
Have but it's funny
because he's a
it's
man.
But, that's
a
funny.
Cop. It's I because he's a cop man. Should at least be able to do it. I know, they can't swing their arms and kick their knees up high.
That's just, a funny situation in the 80s where you're just like, oh, he's a man. He can't keep up with the aerobics.
How many movies are like that where a man's doing aerobics and they're like, I can't do this? It's another one of those fucking like dumb man type of, but you know, I guess if the female's going to be your lead, I guess you need to make a man dumb or something like that. But I really like how this the cop knows, like, you know, you found this fucking, like, an assassin from Japan. Doesn't say ninja. It's just a Japanese assassin. And then he finds a fucking ninja sword in her fucking yes! apartment. I was like, well, and he's not
doesn't question
but he's not a detective.
Doesn't question
he's
it.
Just
yeah,
an officer.
That's what I
he's
said.
Not
I'm
a
like,
detective.
He's not a good cop because he's not putting anything together whatsoever.
But again, I think that's like, a detective.
Oh,
that's
she showed
detective
up
work.
The, right. She found the guy who killed 50 cops.
He's thinking of Poon at that point.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like, cool ninja sword.
he gives her a weird look until she's like, I'm going to hang it on my wall eventually.
Yeah.
Done.
It's like, cool.
This is after she's, I think, well, I don't know. Yeah, this the is night after that the he's sex. There and has sex with her, and then they post coitus. They're sleeping. She is summoned to the closet by this 80s light show.
Dude, that's.
And fog machine.
Those are the best scenes of this movie.
The sword comes it's on fire almost. It's so red hot. Comes floating out on some kind of strings or something.
Yeah,
comes floating out of the closet and into her possession.
I love that scene, dude. I love that. I mean, the lighting of those scenes to me are beautiful. Like, regardless of what you say, how cheap this movie is, blah, blah, the fucking lighting.
That's where the money went.
Is beautiful. It's fucking great looking.
Yeah, it's very pastel, like, yeah. Well, neon. It's neon. It's like an 80s neon kind of look.
But you
it turns pastel because of apartment. Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, blew up the whole movie the way I always complain about most. Like, it's night. Blew it up. And you always have something really fucking weird. I mean, I think those are the images on why I even like this movie, really, and why as a kid I was like, what is this movie? You know, a fucking woman standing at a closet with like smoke and wind and the sword floats around and then she grabs it and then her makeup changes where it's like, holy fuck,
yeah,
she
looks like she's Asian now.
She's possessed by the ninja. Oh, yeah, because they put like heavy mascara.
Yeah. It's like, oh. That's a tad racist. Okay.
Yeah, buck teeth, you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's Chinese.
But is that the point where we bring in all this fantasy stuff where it really departs from what I assume is the second movie, but especially the first movie, Enter the Ninja.
Oh.
Well, now, because we're like, okay, this is the third movie in a supposed series, right?
Yeah.
Because it does have a number. The first movie stars Franco Nero, and it's basically he's a ninja friend of a hippie group that's being threatened by an industrialist. Played
Franco
by
Nero
Pieces
of
Django.
Django.
I just said Django. Yeah, Django. And Christopher George from Pieces is the evil guy who's trying to take their land.
Damn
and
it
so
all.
So once the.
Wait, we're talking about another ninja movie?
Yeah, this is Enter the Ninja. But I'm getting to the
this
connection.
That's confusing enough, sir.
So once the Franco Nero ninja is helping out, the Christopher George has to call, like, well, who can fight this ninja? We got to call his dojo in Japan and summon this evil ninja, and it's Sho Kasugi. Now, why this guy is important is because somehow Sho Kasugi is the lead actor, elite top billing in this movie, or Ninja 3. So he was also in Revenge of the Ninja, and he's in this as the lead guy.
He's actually a really big Japanese star.
He's in a movie called Pray for Death. Have you ever seen
it?
I don't know. I just remember the cover of it. Oh, God, if I show it to you, you'll
Ninja
be like,
three,
I've seen that.
I
want to
say this was
Sho
Kasugi's second or third film.
Was
so
at least his third.
He was relatively new in this movie. I don't think.
Well,
was he in the first one?
Yeah. He was the bad guy in the first one. He was the maybe main character.
But this
in the
is not
one?
The character. Like, this isn't Sho Kasugi, the character from the other ninja movies. This is his own character.
Because there is a flashback scene, but we're thinking
that
flashback
there's one
is
flashback
from this
scene.
Movie?
But does that come from? Is it just
it's this
movie?
Movie?
Okay.
This
okay.
character
making
does
sure.
not. One thing that's interesting about the Sho Kasugi character
shows
is
how
his
he
eye patch.
His eye.
Yeah.
His eye patch is. I was looking at it like, what the fuck is that? Like, it looks like there's a little keyhole.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome if you could open up his
right.
eye patch.
Right. If, like,
I'm
that
designing
was a scene,
something about that right
like,
now.
It's like, oh, we must unlock the ninja.
Well, watching that audio commentary, it's actually the hilt of a ninja sword.
Oh.
It's the actual. I'm like, fuck, that's cool. All
right.
That's cool.
That's
right?
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. You know, it's like, it's one of those things, like, it's not like this perfect square or nothing like that. So you're kind of like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
but, like, once someone says, they're like, oh, fuck, it is. But, yeah, his backflash, is all it is like him tied up. The bad ninja's just laughing at him or some shit.
And he takes his eye out. With
throws
a,
in a shuriken.
Shuriken.
A ninja star at his eye.
You can call it that if you want to.
So
these
two
be
have a animosity that's going to last through the ages. And after
one of the best lines of this movie is, only a ninja can destroy
a
ninja.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Well, all his cop guns did pretty good, like, in the beginning of the movie.
Right. Well, not
but
really.
No,
I mean,
they didn't kill his spirit. It didn't kill his spirit.
Well, if the fucking dumb chick would have been convinced to take the sword, he would have been dead.
Yeah,
just like,
he
oh,
was was pretty convincing in Japanese. And...
Yeah, well, because she didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah, she's like, wait, what?
Okay, she didn't want to be rude.
I know you just attacked me.
You'll be called racist like... nowadays. If yeah. She's just like, going along with it, like,
all right, cool, I'll take your sword.
It's like, hey, thanks.
Well, basically, she suffers a lot of night terrors, I'm going to say. That's not literal, but, like, there's she goes to her, well, in her apartment, she has, you know, the arcade, and the arcade shoots lasers at her face.
Well, since she's dating the cop, she keeps running into the cops, and you have one of those, like, I wish it was like Kill Bill, like, seeing, like, the ninja dying, and that's when the ninja's going to possess her.
She's like, this is the guy who killed that ninja. But she doesn't know why she's...
She doesn't know why.
She's blanking out time when he takes over and possesses her body to go out and kill
the guy. Those conversations are the best.
Who killed him. But there's, we just totally skipped over the fact that fucking lasers shoot out of goddamn arcade
using,
machine.
I mean, I was trying to think. I mean, the audio commentary says the ninja's using different things to, like, because it's all supposed to be about her mind letting the ninja in. That's why she'll start turning on music and dancing because she's.
I was
trying,
say that's the best part. Is
I fucking love it when she does that, dude. Oh, it's
I know I can get rid of this. Let's dance.
Yeah, like
shit's
weird.
Moving in my apartment.
I'm so scared. Aerobics.
But I like how she doesn't fucking know what it is. You know, she's not. She just knows like something's trying to like take
the sword's
over my
like,
mind.
No.
Yeah, it smashes the stereo.
God,
cuts it right in half with secret. Super supernatural ninja power.
But I like how she's not necessarily aware of what happened. I mean, she kind of is in a weird way, but
she's like, I don't know why.
Well, she recognizes the guys, and then, but that's it. She doesn't know why, and then she becomes possessed at night and goes out and kills them or whatever, or you know, during the day. Even there's at some point her boyfriend, now the cop Billy determines that like we should go see this Japanese guy because downtown
she goes
to the doctor first.
Oh, the psychiatrist.
And then
she's like, your brain is fine.
Yeah, I like that. She goes, except for an exceptional extra. What's she say? Yeah. Extra sensory.
Perception.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there's a sex for some extra. Like,
and your
obsession with Japanese culture.
Yeah, Japanese culture. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
You're fine.
I like, but there's no harm in that. And then you come to the. I like that line, you know.
And then they request someone from the Asiatic. Was it Asianic?
Asiatic Department.
The Asiatic Department
of the Arizona Police Department.
Yeah, we probably have that nowadays.
Yeah, well, they got, that's what I'm saying. They got a Chinatown or something. They got people down there.
Which this whole movie was shot. That was the Phoenix, Arizona Police Department. They were allowed to shoot in the police department.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe it.
Well,
that's why most of the movie takes place there. You know, whenever she sees a cop, I mean, that's the whole movie's predicated on the fact that she's dating a cop, and that's how she can run into these cops that she can fucking remember.
How many locations do we have? Well, we have this one. All right, rewrites.
Yeah.
We've got the desert, the cop station, her apartment, and the
one guy in the back was like, I got it. This is what we'll do.
Yeah.
And he rewrote it for this.
Which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the joy of this movie, the fact that it doesn't, I mean, it just does things. I mean, it doesn't, like, question. It doesn't give you
motive.
That's
a great pull quote for the poster. It just does things.
It just does things.
Well, that's...
Don't think about it.
And maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves, but, like, the thing that I guess I was missing from it, I guess I kept on, you know, early on, I'm like, okay, this is where this is going to go. Because I'm like, it's like 30 minutes and no show Kasogi. And he's in the main credited guy. So I'm like, he's going to show up. He's going to know this guy from his dojo. He's going to be the guy who killed his, you know, sensei or whatever. And he's been tracking him, like, to America. Now he knows that he's whatever the supernatural power that this guy has. Shokusugi's going to know what it is. He's going to tell us by telling girl.
Yeah.
That never happens. And then. No,
but he tells the boyfriend. He tells Billy. Billy keeps seeing Shokusugi at different.
Crime scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Crime scenes. He's looking over.
Because Shokuzugi's track, he knows that the fucking ninja is still somehow.
Yeah, you can tell a ninja. People. If you're a ninja, yeah. You can tell when a ninja.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, you can. You can be like, this seems awfully ninja.
They can smell their own.
Yeah, the ropes they made in Japan. Yeah.
I mean, our biggest exposition dump does take place in the James Wong sequence, which is a stylized thing where they bring her in
from Wayne's World 2. He was Cassandra's father.
Yes, he was. Oh, yeah. Yes, he was.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
That's where I know him.
Wonderful.
I was trying to think of where he's from.
Not yeah, David LoPan in Big Trouble in Little China? Like Trouble, oh, my China. God. He's in Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah, he is.
I was just thinking Wayne's World the
but
whole
he
time.
Is like the Asian comedic act. Like, he's a very big comedic Asian actor for like yes. an older Asian guy?
Yeah, Balls of Fury. I mean, come on.
Was he in Balls
yeah.
of Fury?
Yeah, he was. He's like, take the cricket from my hand. Why did you smash the cricket? It's
just yeah, so.
Dumb shit.
But they tie her up because the spirit might... They're going to do an exorcism, basically, an Asian exorcism. So they're afraid that the spirit will get angry. So they put her in chains and tie her up in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And then this is when it starts getting really That's fucking great. Weird. Because it turns into like... I don't know, not The Exorcist, but something.
It is.
She,
it is.
They, her actually, hair goes shot, white. They actually shot the a head spinning around.
Oh,
and it was out. Edited out. But
they're like, that's too on
they
the
did
nose.
The body
no,
flipping.
They won't know. It's not even that. They, well, the filmmakers wouldn't say, or they didn't. They couldn't remember if it was edited out for rating or for how the effect looked.
Oh.
But it might have been for rating.
Well, she does flip.
Oh, so that, is the best, like, that is the best cut in this movie. It's cut for like. Her freaking out to just flips.
Well, and she's yeah. going,
flip of a dummy doing
Billy,
flips.
Hell, like, yeah. That's 80s fucking ghost right there.
Yeah, she's
really.
Trapped
it's like 2 seconds
the...
before somebody was just at the dummy going, all right, you ready? You ready?
Like the Wheel of Fortune. Not the Wheel of Fortune. The Price is Right.
Yeah.
Just but, you know, I mean, that scene could look ridiculous. But, I mean, take
it could
any...
look ridiculous.
No, I mean, her pretending to be possessed by Japanese ninja. I mean, take fucking any actress. I don't give a shit. Tell her, hey, you're possessed by a Japanese ninja. Here you go, dude. It would look exactly like that. Like,
yeah, I'll give you that.
Like,
you
know? Yeah. She's possessed by a demon or just, something.
But,
that would look the same,
but,
too.
Yeah.
It
she
is.
Gets the
things,
white
like,
shit
I don't, like,
in her
she
hair.
Pulls that
she
off.
She gets the red contacts in her eyes.
She pulls that off.
She's not, like,
she
the
looks
most
sickly.
Fantastic like, actress.
No, but I didn't think she could do that. I'm like, oh.
Anybody else would be the exact same thing.
She got it.
Offer anything new.
And that's where we kind of find out what that Billy finally believes this moment that, oh my God, she is possessed. She doesn't remember anything.
That's
about
what he heard.
Later.
He hears the word. I heard him say ninja. What's a ninja?
He never gets an explanation.
He does. Because Shokuzugi, there's a scene where Shokuzugi
is arrested.
No, he gets arrested, but that's because he fights the ninja, the bad ninja. He tracks, I want to say that's the, is that right after the jacuzzi where one of the bad cops is taking two prostitutes, I guess? They seem like prostitutes.
Who are very moral.
And very
when another woman comes in, they're just like, what the fuck's she doing?
Yeah, well, they want their money.
They do.
You can't split that shit three ways. And then, yeah, our female, which is the first time the ninja kind of uses the female body to get at the victim, you know? Like, she, you know, actually uses
right.
the sexualized.
Like, oh, well,
which
I have advantages
I really like
here.
That. I mean, I love poisonous fucking little ring darts.
Oh, yeah.
Poisonous ring.
Yeah.
What do we call it? Tack?
Pricks, yeah. Just
that way you just doop.
Needle.
Tap him. Yeah, needle. Like, tap him on the back and like, Jesus and Christ, what'd you do, bitch? But I think it was right after that Shokuzugi chased the bad ninja down, fought her in like an abandoned house. Of course.
Well, it was the funeral, right? Doesn't like isn't the
was
funeral?
That the
funeral.
The
funeral,
that was
and
the
then
end, I thought.
I think
because then he gets arrested.
I think
Shokuzugi
the funeral happens.
The
then
only,
he gets arrested.
Yeah, because she tries laying out a bunch of people at the funeral. Because he chases her.
Maybe you're right.
And they end up in the
maybe
building.
You're right. Maybe
because she sees the two guys. She sees
the
two guys in the police. The Winslow.
She's already looking fucking rough at
that
point. Like,
yeah, no, yeah.
Well,
that's
it's Billy. It's like how Billy's trying to keep it from her. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, he says something. She's like, "What's wrong with me?" Like, she's got fucking white streaks of hair.
She's eating yogurt and smiling. She's like, "What's wrong with me? Is this weird?"
He's like, "You were hypnotized."
But it goes no. It goes from right. Yeah, hypnotized. But it goes from that. She sees the two other police officers in the police station, and she has that flashback again. then the funerals.
Bastards.
They're like, "Don't forget the funeral at 4:00."
Don't forget it. Yeah,
and
my show.
And that's
fuck
when
that
she's.
Guy.
That's when she goes to kill them with the arrows.
I love those arrows. And I love ninja arrows. They're like thicker and like
right.
somehow really long. I guess that's for
why do these ninjas kill people like out in the goddamn open? I don't know.
You gotta see them. They don't want to pay for lights. Yeah, we're talking
Golden Globus. But I mean, just at a public event. Yeah, let's go kill him at a place where there's going to be like 100
cops. Other cops. Well, if you are a great assassin, you should be able to do that.
Is she a great assassin?
That's what the problem with this movie is. It's not assassin. She's possessed by a great assassin. It's a revenge movie. It's not Indeed. Like she doesn't have a fucking mission. The ninja right. doesn't have a mission.
Did
it's
you
like,
know,
revenge.
If did I you know that away, I'm fine. Sho Kasugi was in a movie called Ninja Assassin?
Holy shit.
Produced by the Wachowski brothers?
He was
brothers?
In Ninja Assassin?
I couldn't tell you who he is, but I looked him up on IMDb.
Holy fuck. Yeah, I will never watch that movie.
It's not very good.
Well, just the title, Ninja Assassin. You're like, what's it about? It's about a guy that assassinates ninjas. I was like, holy fuck.
No, I think
fuck.
He is a ninja who assassinates people.
But he still, I thought he assassinates ninjas.
From his old club?
I don't know. That would be great. I was just like, I can't fucking believe that title is more ridiculous than I thought. Ninja Assassin is fucking... I mean, it's direct.
Yeah.
So Sho Kasugi gets arrested, and Billy's like,
"Oh, that was
hey,
great,
let me-
though. That was great." He fucking takes out two cops in a car. There's three cops in the car. He takes two of them out so silently that the driver doesn't even know
you're
that.
You're jumping way ahead. Billy talks. Billy talks to him, and that's when you start to figure out everything. And that's when Billy goes, "You're a ninja." That's the best line in the whole fucking movie. That's when he realizes, because he's like, what's a ninja? What's a ninja? What's a ninja? And then he sees Sho Kasugi.
You're a ninja.
And then he goes, and like, I forget what they're talking about. He just talks about, like, did you find the sword?
He's like, let me talk to him. And then he gets in the car and he's just like,
can you help her or something like that?
He's like, bring her to the temple.
Yeah.
You're a ninja. That's the best. Because then Sho Kasugi does like a little like smile.
He does.
Like, kind like, of a nod. Like,
yes.
It doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
But he still does
like
it
doesn't
a,
matter.
I'm a ninja. I love it. You're a ninja.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, they're like, bring him to the temple. For some reason, that's in California and they're still practicing.
It's
you
in
know, what the
Arizona.
Fuck?
No, they're monks of
I think
whatever.
The movie is supposed to take place in California.
The monks of
they
Arizona.
They shot it in Arizona.
There was,
I think the movie's supposed to take place in California.
All right, so this is another line of dialogue that maybe I have imagined, but at some point early on, I think when the monks were greeting Sho Kasugi coming over off the plane, they said something about
Kosugi.
The ninja having all the powers of the nine chi.
The nine cheeses?
Was that
nine
cheeses?
Yeah.
Cheeses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something like that. Buddha, we were like,
harness my cheeses.
So that's why he has his super. That's why he's a mystical
well,
ninja.
Ninjas have mystical powers.
This one.
Well, but no, see, but even in Wire Fu, when people are like, Wire Fu is fake and blah, 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 it's like because people think that when you. Even Steve Lambert.
Stephen Lambert.
The stunt coordinator. They did not wash the ninja suits because they believe the reason you have a gi is because all the training you do in it, you put that energy in your suit. So they didn't even fucking wash it.
So they can
and this is just a goddamn
smell.
Movie. And that guy was still like keeping things like the way it is. You know,
so you can smell a ninja.
A lot of people
that's
maybe.
How it works. You're like, I can't see him, but there's a definitely.
But,
a
oh shit, I'm about to get my ass kicked.
Maybe there's a way to wash it with keeping your chi intact. Yeah. I don't know. But just the idea that.
Special detergent.
Just the idea. I mean, that's why ultimately I think most. Americans have been interested in martial arts is because there's that idea that once you reach this certain level of awesomeness, you know, that I mean, shit, look at Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where they can like where they can like balance
on
a fucking tree branch, you know, they're adding all these. I mean, I've always liked more fantasy ninja than a normal ninja. I mean, that's why even these old 80s movies I really don't care for because they're like, it's a ninja. It's a guy in a fucking suit running around with a sword and shurikens. I like the whole, like, you know, the carnicing the fucking chi. Like, that's, I mean, it
I
makes that
the
storytelling.
Oh,
it's their
yeah.
mythology in a weird way, you know?
It's wolfite, not woolite. But they use wolfite.
You were
further.
Thinking about that. For
yeah,
minute
yeah. I've been trying to come
very
up with a
funny
joke. I've been trying to come up with something like what? It's not Tide. Tide doesn't work. Clorox doesn't work. Wolfite. There it is.
Yeah.
That's what they washed.
I'm
the
sure they got Calgon. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Oh, sorry. So this leads to a final battle.
Leads to a final battle.
Well, I was expecting. that
a final battle 30 minutes before it actually happened.
Yeah, because I thought, like, you know, it's like, well, we got to tie these plot threads together. It's like some point it's Billy is going to be like in jeopardy.
It is. It's an hour and a half.
And the two ninjas are going to fight over, like, you know, Billy, because he's
Shokasugi actually got the body of the bad ninja.
He did.
Stole from the morgue.
They're gonna he's gonna fight it out of her body and hopefully it will run away back into the dead body.
Yes.
That works. It's like it's like, why would he, if he couldn't survive being in that body,
why would he go back?
So he becomes a zombie ninja?
Yep.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's very pale. Yeah. He's very pale.
Uh-huh. Which I do like that scene how, once again, it's another one of those like nuggets of gold where I like how when Shokasugi enters the temple, you know, he's talking to her and, you know, it's her and she's, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you know, what will you do to help me? Blah, blah, blah. But as soon as anything starts, I mean, boom, she gets fucking possessed by, I mean, she's that fucking ninja, even if the ninja like lets her out every once in a while or. Yeah. You know, when she's not...
When she's got to dance.
Or whatever. Dude, I love that dancing to keep a ghost out. I think that's a really weird idea.
Dancing to keep the ghost out.
Just keeping your mind...
I'm just not listening to you.
You know something's trying to evade your soul. Right, so you're just
it up
you're doing things that you know are you.
So you just gotta dance.
You're just not, you're trying
it's
to
not really it about the dancing. It's about the focusing your mind on something else other than something trying to possess you.
Yeah. Just dance out the possession.
Or we should probably take this back just a minute. Just to tie into the beginning, you said that this movie had a connection to the Poltergeist.
Yeah, we didn't discuss the scene where she almost gets pulled. She gets pulled into a closet.
Yeah.
That has like lights coming out of it.
Wind. There's a lot of wind in this movie.
There's a poltergeist moment. And we expected that when she came out of the closet, she would be full on ninja.
Full Asian.
But she wasn't. Yeah, I figured it would be him and, you know, his body again or something.
Yeah, I was waiting for her to transform just a full Asian man throughout the movie.
Yeah. Well, if you look closely, it is an Asian man.
Well, sure.
But whatever.
No, Steve Lambert.
Or a very white man with great hair. Yeah.
Steve Lambert might be
a man.
Steve Lambert.
But they fight Shokasugi and the evil ninja now.
And a lot of it was also her, though. I mean, that's why they got a dancer. Someone
that's
that
what
could
I was wondering.
Do,
also
yeah,
true,
the
yeah.
martial arts.
Like
and, like,
she is a dancer.
Leapfrogging.
You can see a lot of her.
Like
you can tell when it's her eyes. You can tell.
Yeah, they're less Asian.
Well, they got the very heavy.
Yeah, the makeup.
So. At the end of the movie, I just remember a lot of shots where you see, like, the couple now that the
they're, like, looking up and
it's like
matter what they're looking
at. That 50s kind of monster movie thing
they're
where they're both,
up,
like,
they're
looking off screen.
The man and the woman.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be looking at the, and even though Shokasugi
monster.
And the bad ninja, I mean, they're jumping over and
they're
moving around
like
and they're just, like, in the same place looking up as if, like, huh. Okay.
And then he's like hanging from a fucking boulder and they're just standing there watching. Like, help him.
Yeah, it's like, aren't you a fucking cop?
It's like, hey.
I'm not a ninja, though.
He's running around with his gun. He's like, I'll shoot him
ninja.
If I need to. But I don't need to.
Which I do. I mean, now that you brought that up, I do like that scene where Billy has to fucking, like, get her to. You know, I just like that idea that a person has no idea what's going on and someone you love is pointing a fucking gun at you and, like, don't fucking. Move, you know?
She's like, I love you.
He was one of the guys that shot him. So
that's the moment I was waiting for. It was like that was going to
be the first thing that
she had to turn on him. Yeah,
because like the first time they show it, he's like, it's the sun's behind him, so he's in darkness. So you're just like,
it's like a fucking Miami Vice.
The ninja wants to kill Billy, and the Shokasugi's going to have to save Billy from her. Possessed by the ninja. Mm. That never actually happens.
Why are you putting so much thought into this?
But that would have been... That's the logical...
This is an 80s ninja movie. This is an 80s ninja movie. Stop thinking.
The girl is possessed by a ninja and kills the people that kill him.
And right.
And
she
uses aerobics to
another ninja goes to stop him.
And she's dating one of the guys who killed that ninja.
Simplicity.
Simplicity.
Oh, it would have been great. Remake. Gonna do it.
Oh, my remake is called She Is I.
Get it?
What you did
she
there.
Is I. Get it? I love it. I'm doing it. You wait.
you wait for the
see.
Home
she's
video
I.
release.
You just
wait.
Dare me.
I'll show you.
So yeah. I mean, the only other thing of importance I think is the second time the Bad Ninja was going to die, he does that cool little like spinning around and goes into the dirt. He does. It creates an earthquake.
What was that?
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. It was ninja powers.
Yeah,
what that was.
His ninja he's achieved the whatever 13th level.
And somehow I think that 17th. Even though the movie doesn't say this, I think him going to the ground was him like going to hell.
Yeah,
and then that's, when it breaks that's what I said. Up, yeah, because yeah. he like comes up and grabs Shokasugi as if he's gonna pull him down into something. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, like he's what, going just gonna pull him down another 20 feet.
I like, was what? Secretly yeah. thinking that, like, or secret. Secretly hoping that, like, as he after he burrowed into the ground, guys, and then the fucking the earthquake started, that he was gonna turn into a giant rock monster.
Yeah, we were hoping for a giant ninja.
That's what we wanted.
It should have been. Yeah, I was imagining like the end of the Muppet movie where Animal comes up and
yes, yes. That's
should have been
wanted.
A giant ninja, but like, how Shokasugi can fight like, exactly.
It should have been like, oh, they killed the small monster. Then he turns big.
He was going to turn big.
Oh, that's what I wanted.
It does seem like it's going to do that.
Yeah. It does. That's what I wanted.
That's what my movie
Kaiju.
Yes, big.
Kaiju ninja.
Kaiju ninja. The 2016 Saturday Night Freak Show copyright.
Kaiju, there you go.
Kaiju ninja.
So, yeah, I mean, fuck.
I got so many movies.
That's all I like. I mean, this movie, so... You it's really so, can't.
He stabbed
like,
him in the head.
We forgot. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, the stab in the head. I do like how when he disappeared, you had the dagger and the sword.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they're both
the
hanging there.
That
yeah.
it was in.
Yeah.
But like, there's really. Well, I mean, at the beginning of the show, we say we want to edificate. It's like there's nothing to research here. It's like this is as you see it on the screen is as and like a
it
ninja
really
kills a scientist, possesses a girl, she dates a cop, she gets revenge on the cops. The cop saves her.
It
from
really
being
is because I looked it up afterwards. I'm like, there's nothing more
there's
than
nothing.
What we got in the movie.
There's like no
nothing.
Like.
Wait,
in-depth
so this
thinking.
Is the most in-depth
this
review
is it.
Of
this
Enter
is
the
it.
Or
this might be
this
the
is.
Most in-depth. If you want to see a really funny review, if you watch, I like to watch a bunch of review guys called Red Letter Media that yeah. do Half in the Bag and also do yeah. the Best of the Worst. They did a bunch of ninja movies that included this, so check out that episode of The Best of the Worst on YouTube. What other ninja movies did the... I can't remember.
Many ninja movies.
Shitty ninja movies.
Yeah. But, oh.
So, I'm done.
Do we have anything left to say?
No, ninja no, there's 3? No more. There's no okay, more. There's a lot of dancing. And ninjas.
All right, well, like stay tuned after we summon our mailbag from our henchman, Igor.
Igor!
And then we'll give you our wrap-ups and you'll find out what we actually thought about this movie individually. So right now, Igor, where are you at, sir?
Igor. Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right, and our first comment comes
you see
to
him
us.
Dance in here, like he's got some moves. Nice, Igor. Like
he's
it.
Been studying some ninja.
Yeah, I don't like the thong, like flash dance outfit he's wearing, but all right, that's fine.
It is wash days.
So. Okay, it's like the last thing he's got to wear.
Phoenix don't breathe though.
No.
All right, our first comment comes to us from Dom Kreese, writing about
hello Dom,
the Sorority House Massacre 2.
Oh shit.
And he is awaiting the greatness that will be Travis's reply to Sean's slanderous comments.
What did I say?
Yeah. What did he
what
say?
Were my
I wasn't
slanderous
here for
comments?
That episode.
He was anticipating.
That it was the best movie ever? What were my slanderous
can't
comments?
Can't remember now.
Slanderous
God damn
comments.
It. I'm going to have to go back and look.
Did you listen to the episode?
No.
You should listen.
I don't remember what it was.
You should,
it had to be like
I remember
in
what
the mailbag.
Okay. No, it was, I think it was, I think your review was like, I watched this, I double featured the first one, the second one, and boy, is my brain tired. And I said, and so is his hand.
Oh. No, that's true.
See?
After part, especially after part two.
After
man.
Part two.
90,
that was it.
99 or whatever fuck it's
90
called.
90 Nightmare.
90 Nightmares? Holy yeah. shit, dude.
Yep.
Holy
See,
shit.
I joke, but it's truth.
Yeah,
well,
it's true. Dude,
also.
After this, trust me, I watched Nude Aerobics after watching this.
Yeah.
I like aerobics.
Nude Aerobics.
Yeah, you'd find that in my Google search.
But Dom also says he's enjoying the hell out of the movie. It's exactly the type of trash he would seek out in his teenage video store adventures. 5 squeaky chest sound effects out of 5.
Yes. Love it.
Okay, then we're now going to get, so this may actually take a little bit of of talking. So Chris Huddleston writes in about Sorority House Massacre 2.
Hello, Chris.
He says, why do you think, okay, so I'm just going to say there's a couple responses to this that we have to read also. Oh. But he says, why do you think that nudity, which has become a significant part of 80s movies, has become passe and is even viewed as sort of tacky when it comes to movies, but is expected in mainstream cable shows on HBO and Showtime. Huh. Now, there's a rebuttal from Babette Georgie. Says, number one, feminists.
Babette.
And number two, choking, strangulating, oppressive, suppressive, suffocating, and obstructive, libtarded, politically correct culture.
Oh, I love her. I love her right now.
Hello, Babette.
Libtard, you call anybody a libtard, you got my heart.
So, yeah, why is that? Why did you have, like, in the 80s...
Sexuality is more on television now than it is in movies.
Because at some point...
Well, but those are also pay channels.
It was in the 90s. Well, I remember when it happened that, you know, it was like in the 80s, like every buddy cop movie, they had to make a stop at a strip club. It was just like, it was a standard deal. And then, and every action movie had at least some brief nudity, you know. Yeah. In Commando, Schwarzenegger goes through the hotel rooms, and there's like some woman who sits up in bed and is briefly topless for like a split second.
Lethal Weapon has the Hudsucker, Amanda Hudsucker, at the beginning. She's topless doing drugs at the beginning, and you know, Swan dives off the hotel room.
But in the 90s, it changed. Like in the 90s, like the 90s teen movies came along.
And emos don't like nudity.
There was no nudity.
They just don't want to show men with women, period. That's what I think.
I wonder if.
Because they actually give a movie a worse rating for a woman with pleasure than her getting murdered.
They do. They do.
They don't like women to have pleasure in movies.
Exactly.
Period.
That's a big thing. It's fucking weird. They really don't like that. That gets them a harsher rating than any violence will ever get them. Is if a woman is having pleasure, that's just like, no. That is immediately very strange. A no-go for
movies. And you'd think that, like, the ratings board would be relatively even when it comes to man and female, but.
No.
Well, I mean,
female pleasure is not looked upon well.
But for some reason. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I would also put forward there's something else that disappeared from movies in the 90s. And that was.
Character? What?
Was it lights?
No, foul, we got plenty of lights.
Foul language. In a lot of movies, like in the 80s, like when you think back, now, it's like, and this is where, not the same way. Like, you look at those Batman movies, it's like nobody really swears at them. No. Like, there's very little
swearing.
You know
the very first Batman movie, the first line, instead of saying, I want you to tell your friends about me, I'm Batman, he's supposed to say, I'm Batman, motherfucker. That was the line in the script.
Oh, that would have been great.
I don't think it would have been. That's too crazy for, like, a Batman. Sure. I'm Batman, motherfucker. No. What?
Looking at it now, I'm just,
who are you?
No, it doesn't fit into that movie, but I just want to see, I just want to see Batman say, I'm Batman, motherfucker.
A Batman, motherfucker. It just seems low.
Batman it does. No,
because I'm one of those guys where, like, I love sex in movies, I love violence, but...
But my Batman.
If I wrote something, or if I wouldn't put sex in it, I wouldn't put, you know... It's one of those weird things.
Well,
where,
I mean, maybe that's happening. Maybe that was Christopher Nolan and how he put it together. He's like, you know, we don't need, you know, there to be a whole lot of swearing here. But like in the 80s, in that movie, there would have been. Like, it feels like there would have worked in, you know, some a number of shits or a number of son of a bitches or whatever.
I mean, even like kids movies, Spielberg movies, Richard Donner movies. You have your little kids say, because that's what kids do. Penis kids say like fucking dick. Well, Man of Steel at least had
Wolfman has no one else has penis breath.
Man of Steel at least had Pete Ross call Clark Kent Dick Splash or some shit like that, which I was like, cool, that's what kids say.
I miss the Dick Splash.
It's
part.
In the book. Well, you look at, right before they crash, he goes Dick Splash.
You look at movies like The Monster Squad or The Goonies, and like those are kids' movies.
Yeah.
But like you watch them with a kid today, it's like the frame of reference.
Do you think they're meant to corrupt us?
No, you know, I just think that they were in the 80s.
A lot of
they
pedophiles
thought that that was what how kids actually were.
It is how kids work.
Well, yeah, it is how kids are.
Yeah.
And you were somehow able to show something that was more realistic back then.
But that's what we do nowadays.
When it's
we don't.
Like we got to somehow censor all
movies
this.
Aren't about realism nowadays.
No.
Movies are, I mean, I always talk about propaganda, but movies now are like trying to be some sort of version of what we fucking see the world as instead of what it actually is, you know?
Well, it's also...
And not that I don't think movies should be that, because I kind of think like, well, okay, why doesn't everybody get on Quentin Tarantino for saying nigger fucking 500 times, but they want to fucking go crazy on any other little thing in movies, but somehow he is...
Yeah.
And he's like, that's how they talk. It's like, yeah, but it's a fantasy. Your movie doesn't need to say nigger 500 times just because they did it in blaxploitation movies 30 fucking years ago. There's a difference between fantasy and reality, and we're starting to, like, blending it somehow.
Well,
like,
we're also, I think,
I mean, like, the president went on a podcast and said it once, and there was, like, a big ruckus for it. But,
oh, yeah,
but Tarantino can, like, go off and do it. And then everybody's like, eh, it's Tarantino.
It's Tarantino's like, movies. Well, I'm trying to represent a movie. It's like, yeah, but it's a movie. Like, we don't, like, okay, ooh, Leonardo DiCaprio ate a fucking real lip. It's like, well, I don't need to see real things in my movies. That's reality television. That's how reality television has affected the movie industry in my mind. It's like, ooh, only gay people should play gay people. Ah, we're getting off.
Off topic.
Thank you, Babbitt.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say that Chris. It's also, I think, we're taking adult subject matter out of the movies, and that's moving to television. We're like,
exactly.
Adults are watching TV.
For sure.
Yeah. And kids are going to movies because it maximizes the amount of people who can come see your movie.
Yes.
If you make
it. Right. That's what they're doing. Exactly. They're making it more accessible for everybody. So they're making more movies for a more mass audience.
And there goes
your nudity. Leaving the specialized TV.
I mean, there goes anything special at all about any art. I mean, that's the problem.
That's why Brian De Palma, like, I can't imagine Brian De Palma making movies. Like, in the 80s, he made movies for adults or erotic thrillers that made money, that people went to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would happen now.
I don't think it would fly today, no. Yeah.
You just can't, there's no reason.
No, because it's all got to be secretive today. Like, you can't be public about going, wanting to see that shit.
Well, but people still have an appetite for it. I mean, you look at Game of Thrones, and it's like, every single episode has, like, some crazy amount of, like,
all we did was take, like, okay, this movie, Ninja 3, The Domination. It wouldn't play in theaters nowadays, right? We got past the, like, your fucking movie has to cost, you know, whatever, $150 million. That's the only reason to go to a movie. If you're just going to see cops or you're just going to see ninjas, that's fucking TV shit, you know? There's no reason.
Like that,
There's just no reason. You're going
to play at a film festival, maybe, but you're not going to... It's got to be really special to be like the Green Room or the fucking Babadook or the
Witch. Well, even special, we won't even know because, I mean, that still just gets select screening. I mean, that's still
VOD. It's special enough that it, like, of the hundreds of movies that are out there, like, you hear about these four in a year.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, somehow, like, out of a film festival screening, it's like, hey, there's this movie called The Witch, and then it becomes a thing, or the Babadook, or, you know, Green Room, right? Right. Those are the most recent things I can think of.
But, I agree with Bebe. It's the libtards. you can't save Princess Peach because it makes women seem weak. Not that it makes men empathetic to things that are weaker to them. Blah, blah, blah. No, it just shows women as weak. So, I don't like that argument.
You got to put trigger warnings now on.
Jesus. Fuck your trigger warning.
It's like, the morality in 80s movies is so different than where we are today.
Our want to see things has been like looked upon as like it's not good that you want to see these things. So it's been kind of secluded to TV. Like, that's where you can go to see the things that kind of.
Yeah, but you know what I say nowadays? Nowadays, I think it's more accepted to go out and fuck a stranger every night than it is to watch porn and masturbate. Like, people will treat you weirder if you masturbate to porn than if you're a fucking whore cum dumpster, you know?
Wow.
Is that weird?
But the truth. I mean, that's the fucking truth.
There's a point in there, and
I see where you're going.
I see. I know what you're saying.
That's the truth. It's fucking very weird.
I would dial it back a little bit.
No way, because people want our fucking movies to be so fucking fake and bullshit that we're not showing people what the real world is.
Yeah, you can't see anything today that is looked upon as like it could be a reality. Like, they don't like that.
Yeah. No,
they want it very highly stylized and like extreme to where you can't believe it's real.
I don't know. I think that stuff is still out there. It just doesn't.
It is, but it's not as it was before. I mean,
it's not movies.
It's indie movies.
They want a billion
indie movies. Yes.
Yeah.
The indie circuit is still doing stuff like that, but now they're like art house, right?
You can see. They put too much thought behind it. It's like, dude, happiness. I don't need a bunch of fucking. People intellectual bullshit just to watch some dude come on a wall. You ever see Happiness? Yeah, great independent movie, guys.
The dude coming on the wall movie. I missed that movie.
You'll love it. It's so independent. Is it pretentious? So thoughtful.
Is it pretentious?
Oh, come on. A guy comes on a wall. You know it's pretentious.
I'm in.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, it's very artsy. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
So hopefully,
thank you, Babette. Thank you, Chris.
Answers your question, Chris.
Oh, we hate movies.
All right, so I'm up first with my review of Ninja 3: The Domination. I actually enjoyed this movie. Now, okay, so again, I'm saying if you go into it thinking that this is going to be high art, you're going to be mistaken. You're not. This is another one of those Star Crash type movies. Is it the Star Crash of ninja movies?
No.
This is actually one of the better ninja movies now.
Yeah,
Let's be serious.
This is the Star Crash of this movie.
This is one of the more watchable ninja movies.
I liked it more than I liked Ninja or Enter the Ninja. Enter the Ninja was more serious.
All right.
And you know, you should still see the Miami Connection. We have to bring that on the show at some point. There's a song called like Enter the Ninja or Revenge of the Ninja or something like that that this band plays, and there's all these ninjas that are dealing cocaine. Whatever. Miami Connection. But it's
cocaine ninjas.
It's stylized in a way, like a lot of times I just sat there going like, what the fuck is going on? Because it's just like it is the weird melding of fantasy into your revenge plot or whatever. I mean, I guess you get it kind of when you bring in like possession, but some of the visual stuff, the lasers and all this, you know, it's just like the
very
smoke.
Which, come on, 84, dude, that was really high tech. Having fucking lasers that are like designed to make their own pattern on the female.
Oh, I mean, that's, you know what they use for that? It's the same thing that they used in Aliens, where they cut through the door of the Sulaco and they shoot that blue light. They were using it at rock shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they still had to design their own pattern.
Like these filmmakers had to find somebody that knew what lasers were. It's a laser light show. They're shooting it in her face. She's got to close her eyes. Smoke in there, and then you can see everything.
Yeah.
But how many movies in 1984 utilized lasers? Not a fucking lot. Like actual lasers.
I can't back that up. No, it was the 80s. I imagine there was a lot of lasers in the 80s.
But you're talking about animation for the movie's sake, not actual lasers on set.
I'm thinking of Alien. There's got to be a lot.
It's the 80s.
Alien and Aliens.
But this is 84.
That's like number three on the list of when I think of the 80s.
This is the beginning, though. This is 84. The beginning.
They used that same thing in Alien.
The beginning.
That was the force field. It was that same thing. It was spread out.
It was not the same thing.
Yeah, it was just sideways.
It's the same technology.
This has that fucking pattern. And anyway,
yeah, she looks like the Ultimate.
Yeah, watch the movie. It's not the same.
So I mean, I enjoyed it as you know. It's like I was telling Sean earlier. It's like there's certain movie type, right, that has become like a cult movie where you watch it and you laugh at it because it's funny. Now, but at the time, you have to imagine that the people who made that movie were very earnest in trying to make a real film. You know, it's like, it's got character, it's got story, it's got excitement and action, and it's going to be great, and the kids are going to love it. And now we watch it, and we just kind of go like, what in the holy fuck were they thinking? Because some of these decisions are just mad. I mean, they're batshit crazy kind of thing. And now with like a kind of postmodern detachment from the movie, you're able to look at it in this ironic way where you're, you know, it's humorous and you laugh at it. It probably wasn't intended to be funny, but now it's like a camp classic. You can't fake it though, because if you do,
you get fake it.
Sharknado. If the makers are in on it, it ruins the fun of it. But I think Ninja 3, actually, it works. It's fun. It's maybe not as awesome as like a Star Crash or something where there's not like enough stuff going. Because about halfway through the movie, it was like, okay, you know, I get it. She sees a cop. She has the Kill Bill, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Like, I got to kill this guy. She goes out and kills him, comes back, rinse and repeat. That happens maybe a few times too often just to pad out the movie. But I don't know. It was an enjoyable experience. Something you probably should experience. And so I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to recommend Ninja 3, The Domination.
Don't show it.
Freak show it.
I'm going to have to disagree. I don't know what the fuck we just watched, but I hated it.
Ouch. Hated it.
I'm sorry.
Write it down.
I did.
Hated it.
I'm sorry. I think there was too much going on. I think there was, yeah, I do. I think so.
Why do you have too much going on in a ninja movie?
No, there was so much going on. It felt like multiple movies mashed together.
I'm sorry to hear that you're
so
putting much in your resignation.
So much or not enough?
Yeah, I was going to say so much.
Your There's words are confusing.
They just threw things in the storyline. Like, oh, how are we going to do this? Well, let's use this. We'll have lasers.
Cocaine will do that.
We'll have lasers coming out of a video game. What? Why? Like,
because it's the 80s.
I needed more explanation. I needed more story. I needed it to make sense. I'm sorry. I did. I'm sorry, Travis.
It made perfect sense.
No, it didn't. No.
She was possessed because of the sword.
Yeah. Yeah, because of the sword. That's not an answer. Why was she killing the scientist?
We have to know.
Why was she killing the scientist? Where did the black ninja come from? Like, there's so many questions.
Ninjas will never tell you.
Yeah, they're ninjas.
There was so much going on. And then she was possessed. There was aerobics. Like, it was so much. So much.
You keep saying things and it's like plus, plus, plus.
Yeah. Everything about what you just said is great. No. Aerobics.
Well, yeah. Girls have a different reaction to aerobics.
They don't want to do it. Guys exercise too, goddammit.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pass on this one.
By the way, you going to aerobics class next weekend? Can I see you there?
Of course.
Yeah, all right.
Can I borrow your stretchy pants?
Oh, yeah, please. Sweet. Which one, the brown or the maroon?
As long as they match my leggings.
Okay.
I don't care.
That works.
Yeah, hard pass on this one.
Okay. Robbie Knievel did stunt work on this movie, by the way. Just wanted to mention that. Saw that in the credits.
Motorcycle.
Thought that was
Evil Knievel?
Yep. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Evil Knievel Jr.?
Evil Knievel Jr. He did some stunt work. Motorcycle, we're assuming.
Probably, right? Maybe.
There are two motorcycles.
Which I hear Steve Lambert, the stunt coordinator, I think plays like 37 people in this movie.
That's impressive.
That's awesome.
Oh, Ninja 3. It is, I mean, like Colin said, it is that movie where, like, when they were making it at the time, that like they thought what they were making was like that was
Block
it. That was good. They thought, yeah, they were putting all the effort into it, and they thought this is gonna be the best. It's gonna be something we could sell at least. This movie is. I mean, when we were first watching it, we looked at each other like, this movie is insane, insane. Insane for all the elements that it brings into it. Like, I mean, like we said, if you look at the movies that were released in the years around this, Poltergeist, you can see that influence. It's a crazy movie. It's not quite clear. Like the scientist thing at the beginning, like I didn't get that. Like he was a scientist. I must have missed that
part.
Some
cops said it.
Just the cops.
Did he? Yeah. Some random.
20 minutes later.
Piece of didn't get it. I'm just like, all right, she's killing Kevin Nealand on a golf course. I can get that. Yeah. All right. But I mean, it's entertaining in the sense that like it, the sheer insanity of it, because watching it with a group of people, you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And like, I enjoy that. I enjoy the what the fuck moments of this movie. If you're at home watching this on your own, I'd be like, you might be able to still get like entertainment out of it. I don't know. It might be that insane.
You didn't think it was a cheap cop out that they pulled? Oh, this is clearly Poltergeist. This is clearly Flashdance.
I mean,
this is clearly
The Exorcist. But look at the 80s.
How
like,
many movies do that, though? I mean, that's what movies
every
do.
Every canon movie.
Every movie. The Suicide Squad trailer is only what it is because of Guardians of the Galaxy. Hollywood just works like this. Oh, that's popular? Let's fucking kill it.
So much so they're going
back to shooting
that. My
problem with it is that it doesn't mesh together.
Oh, it mesh.
Aerobics, possession, it all.
It is something else. Together,
all right.
It's a stew.
It is a stew.
Sometimes
the meat comes to the surface and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get like peppers. Sometimes the peppers show up and you're like, I don't want this. Where's the meat? But the other problem I had with this, I think the fight scenes, I wanted more The way the fight scenes in this are shot, it feels like it's too close. Like, it's not the best fight scenes. Like you said, we discussed earlier.
So you can see the foot.
Right, so you can see everything hitting. They shoot it at a distance. You can almost see the gap between people getting hit and falling over.
Did anyone else notice the throwing star, the cop? She threw it at the wall. It hit the wall before he put his hand up.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? Yeah. That was my favorite.
This is the type of movie where they usually throw it, and then the person already has the makeup on their hand, and they just go, ah!
So that was a moment where they're just like, all right, we're going to whip pan to you. You throw your hand up like it was close.
Dude, I've always wanted to make those type of movies.
I enjoy that. I like that. But, I mean, like, the fighting scenes, like, I don't take those seriously because, like, the way they're shot, like you said, you know, slow it down so we can see everything that's happening. And, like, it's not, you know... it's not a fight movie for me. Like, I wouldn't go for this for the action scenes and whatnot. This one's a hard one. Like, I would recommend it with, you know, a group of friends just for the insanity. This is like, all right, this gets over. This is like 51% recommend. Like, this is barely over the line. Like, I'd recommend you see this movie just for the insanity of it. The insanity. But I think you could watch this and enjoy a good amount of elements of this. I'd recommend it.
I mean, watching this movie along with other martial arts movies, what you really take away from it is the same way. Okay, here at the Freak Show, we're a bunch of horror fans, so we plan to try to, you know, make some horror movies or, you know, blah blah blah. Well, this is what stunt people do. Stunt people say, "Well, what do? Well, we got a ninja, and he kills a scientist.
Just one."
And, you know, it's like stunt people, I think, I mean, when they're making movies, a great example, and it's going to come to the Freak Show, is, what's it called? Bakuman? No, fuck. Cannot think of what it's called.
Oh, I almost know what you're talking about.
Yeah, God damn it. I can't think of it. Anyway, the point is, God damn it. It sucks that I forgot the name of that movie. I think it's Bakuman. Anyway.
Something like that.
The point is, yeah, when stunt people get together, when stunt people get together and make a movie, they're only thinking, I want to say the director of this movie said, like, well, you're making an action movie. It's got to be 40% action, 60% story. Or maybe that was the other way around. Maybe it was 60% action, 40% story. Is it Bakuman?
Is it an anime? Is it a manga?
No, it started at Fantastic Fest like a year or two ago called Bakuman.
I'm going to keep looking.
Yeah, please do. I want to say it starts with a B. And what stuntmen have, I mean, all they have are these, you know, he'll jump on a car. They have these sequences, just like a horror maker has their sequences.
He rides on top of a police car holding onto the fucking lights bar.
Yeah, right? Where if you watch, like, I mean, I've always said, like, a Dario Argento, like, horror movie, to me, it's always boring until, like, a girl's about to get murdered. Then it turns into a fucking cinema class. Like, the guy's mind just switches on and, like, he starts showing you shit where, yeah, it may not be as good in this instance, but I still think there's enough action in this movie. I mean, personally, I really like the dark ninja at the very beginning of the golf course. He puts the shuriken between one of his toes and fucking like kicks it into
the helicopter
pilot, which that was Steve Lambert, the helicopter pilot. That guy Steve plays Lambert. Like 37 people in this. And I've always, this is one of my classic USA Up All Nights. I saw this when I was like at a tender age of 12 or 13 or some shit, and I was just like, I was just fascinated by the idea of like, holy fucking, a girl is possessed by a ninja sword. Like, I just thought that was great. I mean, it may seem comic booky, it may seem whatever, but I just think that's a great, not a great story, but it's at least a great idea. Like, they could have made a story out of this. I've always said, like, I plan on making my remake of this called She Is I. Because I love the idea of a woman being possessed by a ninja. I don't know why. Maybe I like ninja movies. I do like American Ninja. So yeah, I mean, really, I completely recommend this because I think it's this and American Ninja. I think are like the best ninja movies of the 80s.
See American
Ninja. I can't. Oh, I love American Ninja. I'll show it.
Michael
Dudikoff. For sure. In a few weeks, Michael Dudikoff. But, yeah, so I like this movie. It's not fucking fantastic. It's not whatever. But you know what, dude? Like, watching this is better than watching any episode of, like, NCIS. Or like,
oh, yeah.
You might as well just watch somebody become a ninja. Get possessed by a ninja.
You might as well watch it.
I can't argue with that.
You know, I mean, there's worse shit. I mean, I own this movie, so obviously there's something about it. I mean, it could just be the fact that I want to own everything I loved when I was 12. I mean, maybe that's just like everything I am in my head comes from when I was fucking 10 years old watching all these movies, you know, because I've never forgotten. Like, I didn't need to rebuy Ninja 3 to come up with my She Is I. This concept has stuck with me forever. I love this concept. So I love this movie. Of course, I recommend it.
Well, a little tidbit and a plug for another. The Blumhouse Shockwaves podcast had the Scream Factory guys on it, who recently put Ninja 3 out on Blu-ray. They said
which looks perfect.
They mentioned in that podcast that was one of their like unexpected. They were surprised by the success of the sales of that movie.
It's so unique. So there's not a movie like this.
There's not.
Yeah, even if you've cherry-picked a bunch of different genres to make one, there's fucking nothing like this. I love it.
Nobody dances this much in a ninja movie.
No.
Ever. Ever.
But in the 80s, people do dance this much. I will say that.
Yeah.
I will fucking say that. Maybe not in a ninja movie. But that's why this movie had everything. It didn't just have, like, it wasn't just for the ninja people. It was for the ghost people.
The dance people.
It was for the fucking aerobics people. It was for the fucking, what?
Fun for the whole family.
Yeah, I love it.
Can you imagine that crowd? Like, a ninja, a dancer, and a ghost go to the movies. What movie are they going to see? This movie. This movie.
All right, well, I guess that brings us to the end of our Ninja 3 episode. If you tune in next week, you're going to hear Sean talking about his pick, and Sean's going to show us what movie, Sean?
Watchers.
Starring?
Corey Haim.
There you
and
go.
And a dog and a monster.
And Mark Singer, or is he in the sequel?
There is a sequel.
Why'd you bring that up?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Mark Singer was from V.
You're confusing people.
I remember Robert Englund from V.
Nobody remembers anybody else, Colin.
He was the guy with the camera.
Nobody remembers. Yeah. You are alone in your fascination with V.
There you go.
But we're watching Watchers.
I will say that. I love
it. Somebody write in and tell me I'm not alone. No. Out on an island by myself. All right, so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.